Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And this is Tim Grady. Thank you for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. Lou Weiss is out on assignment. And I have joining us Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair of the ISM's Non-Manufacturing Report on Business. This is the dovetail report for the Manufacturing Report on Business. These are probably two of the best reports out in the universe of information to find out what the economy is doing, where it's been, and where it might be headed. Anthony, thank you for joining us again on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Always enjoy having you, and your report is so good, I don't know what we're going to talk about. This is a stellar report. Why don't you go into some of the highlights of it? But for our listeners, this may be as good as it gets. Anthony?
Thank you. As you said, I mean, really, looking at the numbers, how they came in this month, especially after the cooling off that we had in January, the report beat many expectations out there, coming in the composite index at 59.7, up 3 percentage points. We look at the past month, February, as kind of the pivotal month, because with January being post-holiday, after we had that build-up, we had such a strong 2018, and then we had that build-up going into the holiday season. And then post-holiday, we had a little bit of the doldrums there, and now we're seeing right back on track with strong growth month-to-month. And most notably is when you look at this composite index, all 18 industries reflected growth month-to-month for the composite index. Then on to business activity, 64.7, up 5 percentage points from the 59.7 in February. And keep in mind, you know, we've become spoiled. Looking back, 2018 again is so strong. We had a composite index in January, 56.7, business activity, 59.7, both really good readings, yet we looked at it as being, again, a cooling off month. Now we're up to the 59.7 on the composite, now 64.7 on business activity. It's kind of, where is it going from here? How much stronger can it get?
Yeah, we look at, right?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And so, and keep in mind that this report, it is one of the early reports that comes out. Manufacturing, first business day of the month. Non-manufacturing, the third business day of the month. So it's early on, and you know, the data collection and everything else. This is even prior to some of the positive comments that came out of the trade negotiations from last week. And as we look through various respondents' comments for this report, there was still concern and uncertainty surrounding tariffs and the trade situation.
Well, that's interesting, because we had a little of that talking with Tim Fiore on the manufacturing side. The tariff comments, although of concern, had dropped to 22% of comments from 47% of comments. And that was before Trump pushed off the other tariffs he could impose on March 2nd. Since you're looking at February data, is there any cooling off in terms of comments on tariffs, or are they beginning to kind of still be up there pretty high?
They were up there pretty high, and keep in mind that manufacturing is definitely more impacted by the tariffs, especially the commodity-based sector that it is. We see it more on the services, non-manufacturing side, in the retail arena, definitely in the agricultural side, I should say. So it's, again, and then there's also the support services, the industries that support manufacturing, where manufacturing is a customer to the non-manufacturing company or vice versa. That's where you see some of the correlation is the intertwining of the supply chain there.
Well, it's interesting, as I listen to the nightly news, I'm hearing that the tariffs are an issue, and I think they've become a real issue for manufacturing, yet I don't see the consumers reacting as one would think. Is that also true on the non-manufacturing side, Anthony?
Well, it has to transpose into something that the consumer can truly feel, and that would be higher prices, which leads to the pricing index at 54.4. It's down 5 percentage points month to month. And all indications are that we have not seen inflation creep into the economy. It's just been our pricing that we see in this sector is correlated mostly to the price of oil, fuel-related products, petroleum-based products, certain commodities for sure, but for the most part, fuel has been driving, and the prices index, and there's just not the the strong prices that we've seen in the past, and so it doesn't seem to be on the radar as far as being concerned. So back to your question, if we're not seeing higher prices per se affecting the consumer, then their understanding of how this whole trade situation is impacting them is it's not there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, you and I have talked throughout 2018 on trucking and transportation, and we're starting to see Washington pay attention to this issue. Has that eased, Anthony, or are people just getting used to the fact that there's never going to be enough trucks for the next 10 years?
Well, there's definitely not enough trucks, but it has eased in the sense of where it's not become as many as the comments that we've seen in the past. But yet we see deliveries still slowing. We see backlog growing. And I can say this much, that is based on this report, and then looking at the new orders index, which tells us what's in the pipeline, going up 7.5 percentage points to 65.2 from the 57.7. That tells us that this will also transpose into increased business activity, and there comes the constraint. We will not have the logistics support. We will not have the trucking available to handle the increase. So it will become, it's still capacity constraints, employment resources constraints. This is all still prevalent for the respondents in this sector.
Now, I note that we also talked about mining kind of holding down the report in early 2018. Now we're in early 2019, and everybody's beating on mining as the bad guys. Nonetheless, they support a huge section of our economy. Mining seems to be doing well.
Yes, mining definitely has rebounded. You know, what we're seeing as to where they sit, they're probably in the upper echelon of the pack when it comes to looking at it from business activity. And as far as the composite index, they're up there as well. They're in the top five. So mining has held its own beginning last year after some time. I think it was around the first quarter they started picking up after the prior year being the anchor on this sector.
Anthony, we also chat on construction, since that's in the non-manufacturing side. They're not making 2x4s or using 2x4s. To construct buildings and housing. How are housing starts doing?
You know, housing starts, and I just read recently that they had a little bit of an uptick month to month, but they had slowed down a bit. And what was driving construction, the non-manufacturing sector for the most part, was on the commercial side, the renovation, rehabilitation side, more so than new housing starts. So, but again, I just saw that there was a couple of variables that I think have also contributed to the strength that we're seeing in the economy, was that the increase in housing starts, the stock market, the S&P was up a little bit. Also, employment as we see it is strong, and there's low unemployment, and we're starting to see some wage pressure as well, wage increases. So that coupled with creating discretionary spend and infusing money back into the economy has really, I feel, contributed, amongst other things, with the strength that we're seeing in the overall economy.
Well, it's interesting that the construction is being driven by the long-term care facility and the 55-plus communities and commercial. Certainly the long-term care facilities with 10,000 baby boomers retiring a day has got a rosy outlook for it. I also noticed in the report, and this was a surprising jump to me, and I realize we're not exporting hard goods, but we're still exporting a 4.5 percentage point upward movement in new export orders.
Yes. Excuse me. And what we're seeing there, and that's a great point, because if you look at export and imports and the trade deficit and the trade tariffs and whatnot, we had imports contracted because we had such strong imports prior to the last round of tariffs being implemented. So everyone was anticipatory and they brought things in. The same thing on the other side was anything that was going out, whether it be commodity-based, more so than knowledge-based, because that would be not affected by any tariffs. So we saw an increase on the export side in anticipation of a next round, which has not materialized at this point. So we'll see how this will move in the next few months, but those two have been definitely interrelated.
Anthony, I noticed that inventories are at 51, up 2 points from 49 in January, yet inventory sentiment is at 59. Can you explain those two to our listeners, please?
Sure. We had a contraction last month, definite burn-off carrying over from December as companies look to reduce inventory levels for the fiscal period, as well as increasing their cash flow, cash liquidity. And then when you look at that combined or correlated to inventory sentiment, here's the difference. Inventories index is looking at specifically what's on hand, physical inventory. The sentiment is how our respondents feel their levels or inventory are correlated or applicable to their levels of business. So in the non-manufacturing sector particularly, where it's more demand pull, it's definitely more just in time, and respondents feel that pretty much anything on the shelf is going to be too much inventory.
Interesting. So these reports generally give some indication about what the GDP is or is going to be. What would this 59.7 correlate to in GDP about?
If we looked at it on an annualized basis, it would be 3.9%, which is, that's strong. That's strong. And, will it be sustainable at that level? Remains to be seen. But I think that, the question always comes up, how sustainable is this economy? Are we in for headwinds? Are we in for any recessionary period in the foreseeable future? And many economists were predicting that 2020 would be a 2019 going into 2020 would be a slowing in the rate of growth, that the train could not stay on the tracks at this kind of speed, and that we would see some pullback and perhaps maybe some recessionary period going into 2020, latter part of 2020. The question is, why does it have to end, right? Why do we have to hit a recessionary period? We look at the business cycles that have existed since the inception of 33 different cycles of, and we've had expansion and contraction, expansion, recession. Australia's had 28 years plus of not having any recession. Usually it's not just a lifeline. It's usually something that really happens to kill the expansion to where we go into a recessionary period. Like last time it was a combination of things, and notably the subprime loan and collapse of that market and how it impacted the overall economy. So again, what's going to cause this to get off the rails here? We don't know at that point, at this point in time. So I think that where things are set up right now, we could be perhaps going longer than what might some, like, that some might be projecting.
Oh, and that would be terrific. I happen to agree with you. If the government stays out of it, generally we can do pretty well. When they start to ratchet up interest rates to tamp down inflation, which they did in 2018, kind of anticipating inflation that I'm not quite sure materialized, and also to get inflation interest rates up. So if it does happen, they've got some negotiating room with rates. I would agree with you that this could go for some time if nothing fouls the waters. So anything else, Anthony, you want to share with our listeners as we begin to wrap this up?
Well, I think that, you know, you hit the nail on the head with intervention. However, you know, keeping in mind our friends at the Federal Reserve and the mantra of the Federal Reserve is twofold. One is to stem inflation and to also ensure a good employment rate. So I think that sometimes we get caught up in thinking the central bank is supposed to be doing a lot more than that, and that is their primary focus. And so we have to look at the fact that everything that we have in totality is contributing toward maintaining a strong economy. And as I always said, with this sector, the non-manufacturing sector, as employment goes, that's how this sector goes.
Okay, well, we'll certainly keep an eye on it. Now, in about a month, 33 days or somewhere thereabouts, the Institute for Supply Management has its annual conference in Houston this year. I wonder if you can just share with our listeners a bit about that and what you and Tim Fiore will be presenting.
Thank you. And we will be in Houston from the 7th through the 10th. It's the international conference. We have former Fed Chair Janet Yellen as one of the keynote speakers, along with Carly Fiorina and others. And so we have a great track of courses on there, different tracks, rather. And Tim and I will be presenting the most recent report on business, as well as insight into the past and forecasts for the future, but not so much because it's prior to our semi-annual release, which comes out on May 7th, a month later. So we're a little premature in that regard, but because typically we always at conference go through the semi-annual release, but the conference is early this year, earlier than most years. So we'll be giving an education in regards to how to utilize the report on business, how to incorporate it into your business strategy. So that's what we'll be presenting there at the conference, as well as with some of the other various subject matter experts and career tracks and everything else that's going on there.
Thanks, Anthony. I would seriously encourage and always encourage our listeners to go to instituteforsupplymanagement.org and pull up these two reports and go through them in great detail. As I said, they are really the canary in the coal mine. They give you a sense of where the economy is. And if you look at the track record of the reports, where it could be going in the near future, it's broken down by industry sector, so every company can find themselves somewhere in this report. Anthony, thank you again for being with us on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. And to give you guys a plug, speaking of canary, we'll be looking forward to seeing those canary yellow jackets over at the conference.
Thank you very much. Yes, we're on the exhibit hall floor, and we like to interview a lot of the attendees, and always look forward to it. This is a really sharp group of people that shows up at these conferences. So we'll be seeing you there, Anthony. We look forward to it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. And we've been speaking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Institute of Supply Management's Non-Manufacturing Business Survey Report. And this is really an excellent report this month, and it continues a very positive trend. So dig into the report. Again, you can get it at instituteforsupplymanagement.org. We also have a link to it at mfgtalkradio.com, where we have all of our shows posted. We have Manufacturing Matters with Cliff Waldman there. We have a link over to Women and Manufacturing, which is womenandmfg.com. There's another body of work that we're putting together on women's experiences and their career paths in principally manufacturing. Sometimes they're the owner of the company, sometimes they're non-manufacturing, but really excellent insights and great interviews. So there are even more shows that we're going to be launching in 2019. But again, thank you for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.